Nuclear hot seat. What are those people thinking? Nuclear hot seat. What have those boys been drinking? Nuclear hot seat. The corium is sinking. Our time to act is shrinking, but our activists are linking. Nuclear hot seat. It's the bomb.
Welcome to Nuclear Hot Seat, the weekly international news magazine keeping you up to date on all things anti-nuclear. My name is Libby Halevi. I'm the producer and host, as well as a survivor of the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island from just 1 mile away. So I know what it looks like when the so-called nuclear experts get it wrong. Arne Gundersen is our favorite nuclear engineer. He has 40 years of nuclear power engineering experience. He was a licensed reactor operator, holds a nuclear safety patent, and is a former nuclear industry senior vice president. During his nuclear power industry career, Arne managed and coordinated projects at 70 nuclear power plants in the U.S. That's 70. He currently heads Fairwinds Energy Education and consults on nuclear power issues around the world. Arne is a primary provider of clear-headed thinking about the problems at Fukushima Daiichi, so I decided to give him his head to explain what he would do if he were put in charge of the cleanup.
Arne Gundersen, welcome back to Nuclear Hot Seat.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Arne, first, bring us up to date on the current status of Fukushima Daiichi. Paint the picture. How bad is it?
In a word, Fukushima Daiichi is a mess. And it didn't have to get as bad as it did. The condition of the site right now is that there's an enormous amount of water coming off of the mountain behind the site that's leaking into the basements of all the other buildings. This has been going on for 40 years. The mountain has released something on the order of 1,000 tons of water a day through the groundwater, and about 400 has always leaked into the basement of these buildings. But they had some pumps, and of course they didn't have a nuclear accident, so they could pump that water out routinely. Well, when the earthquake happened, the building sunk 3 feet. The whole coast of Japan sunk 3 feet, and that, of course, increases the hydraulic pressure. It cracked, so that the foundation is now cracked. So the net effect is the mountain is still doing what the mountain's always been doing, putting groundwater into the bottom of this plant. But now there's radioactive material that's leaked out of the nuclear reactor onto the floor of the containment. And the containment building's leaking like a sieve through penetrations that failed during the accident and cracks and things like that. So this water is coming in direct contact with the nuclear fuel, and it's becoming heavily contaminated. So Tokyo Electric has been running around building, frantically building, tanks, about 3 large tanks a week to make up for the amount of water they have to pump out of these basements. And in the process, they've created over 1,000 tanks up on the hill behind the plant. Some of the all these tanks are thrown up in a hurry, and they're a lot of them are bolted together with rubber on the joints, and they're only designed to last for 5 years and are already 2 years old. So they're already starting to leak into the groundwater. So you've got tanks leaking into the groundwater, and you've got the nuclear plant leaking into the groundwater. So the immediate problem is the condition of the groundwater that's then leaking directly into the Pacific Ocean, like it always has, except now it's got radiation inside it. So what caught the public's attention last month is that one of these tanks was leaking substantially, and it had extraordinarily high levels of radiation inside it. The radiation would be lethal in 4 hours. So it was really nasty stuff. But there's 1,000 other tanks that are similar. So it's not like it's a one tank problem. So that tank caught the public's attention, but in fact, there's 1,000 tanks on that hillside plus the basement that is continuing to contaminate the groundwater on the site, and the groundwater is being pushed into the Pacific. So the net effect is we're contaminating the Pacific Ocean and will for years, if not decades, to come.
Anything else you want to add to the current situation?
Yeah. I started this conversation by saying it could have been avoided. 2 years ago, I wrote a book in Japanese only called Fukushima Daiichi, The Truth and the Future. And I talked about the fact that what needed to be done back then was to build a trench that isolated the plant from the mountain and fill it with something called zeolite. Zeolite is a volcanic ash that's very good at absorbing radiation. And then what that would have allowed would have been you could have pumped the clean water down so that it didn't enter the plant. The goal would be to pump the water table down. And I was told by Japanese officials at the time that Tokyo Electric didn't have enough money to do that. Well, it's a pay-me-now or pay-me-later situation because now they've got a multi-billion-dollar problem on their hands and they need a bigger trench. Had they done it a couple of years ago, it would have prevented the groundwater from becoming contaminated. Now the groundwater is contaminated. But, you know, it, in the big picture, it's like filling a bathtub with the drain closed. Tokyo Electric is building the sides of the bathtub higher to keep the water in, but they're not turning the spigot off. And what they really need to do is turn the spigot off, and that's making sure that new, fresh groundwater doesn't get into the site. And that's not happening. That won't happen for years to come.
What about the pending problem with their planned removal of the spent fuel rods starting in November?
The second problem is the fact that they are planning to remove the fuel from Unit 4. Now, all of this groundwater problem is sort of a sideshow for the fact that we have three nuclear reactor cores that have melted down, and eventually four buildings are going to have to be completely dismantled. The first and easiest problem is the fuel pool in Unit 4. If you recall back when the accident started, when the Americans were evacuated, the reason for that evacuation was the fuel in the fuel pool at Unit 4. The meltdowns were not as bad as the danger of the fuel in the fuel pool at Unit 4. Well, now we're 2.5 years later, and the fuel has cooled somewhat, and they can begin to remove the fuel. What that entails, think of a fuel rack as a pack of cigarettes, and you try to pull a cigarette out. If you hold the pack of cigarettes in the right direction and pull the cigarette straight up, it'll come out just fine. But if the pack is distorted and you pull the cigarette, it breaks. Well, that's the problem that they're going to encounter on Fukushima Daiichi 4. The racks are distorted from the earthquake. Oh, by the way, the roof has fallen in, which further distorted the racks. And the net effect is that they've got the bundles of fuel, the cigarettes, if you will, in these racks. And as they pull them out, they're likely to snap a few. When you snap a nuclear fuel rod, that releases radioactivity again. So my guess is, and it's things like krypton 85, which is a gas, cesium will also be released, strontium will be released. They'll probably have to evacuate the building for a couple of days. They'll take that radioactive gas and they'll send it up the stack up into the air because xenon can't be scrubbed. It can't be cleaned. So they'll send that radioactive xenon up into the air and purge the building of all the radioactive gases and then go back in and try again. It's likely that that problem will exist on more than one bundle. So over the next year or two, it wouldn't surprise me that either they don't remove all the fuel because they don't want to pull too hard, or if they do pull too hard, they're likely to damage the fuel and cause a radiation leak inside the building. So that's problem number two in this process. Getting the fuel out of Unit 4 is a top priority item, but it's not going to be easy. Tokyo Electric is portraying this as easy. In a normal nuclear reactor, all of this is done with computers, and everything gets pulled perfectly vertically. Well, nothing is vertical anymore in there. The fuel racks are distorted, and it's all going to have to be done manually through very murky water. The net effect is that it's a really difficult job, and it wouldn't surprise me if they snap some of the fuel and they can't remove it.
Arnie, let's go to the hypothetical now. If you ruled the world, if you were suddenly at this moment put in charge of everything happening at Fukushima Daiichi from this point forward, where would you start? What would you do first, and how would you proceed?
On my first 5 minutes on the job, I would fire Tokyo Electric. They're not an engineering company. They never were an engineering company. They're an operating company, and they didn't do a very good job at operating either, but they never were engineers. And I would bring in a large international engineering company to replace them. So problem number one is you've got people that don't know what they're doing trying to dismantle the site. Problem number two, though, the second thing I would do is I would tell the Japanese people that they're on the hook here for something like $500 billion, U.S. dollars. That hasn't been done. The Abe administration hasn't admitted exactly how much this cleanup is going to cost, because the Abe administration wants to start nuclear plants up, and if the Japanese people knew they were on the hook, it would be a lot more difficult and there'd be a lot more public resistance. So part of the problem with the cleanup to date has been incompetence by Tokyo Electric. But the second part, I can't blame Tokyo Electric. They don't have the money, and they never did have the money, and there's been this cozy relationship between the Japanese government and TEPCO that the Japanese government has blamed Tokyo Electric but never stepped forward and tried to correct the problem. That's got to stop. Get rid of Tokyo Electric and have the Japanese government commit to spending the adequate money. Then where would I spend that money? First, I'd pump down the groundwater table where the clean water is coming. That would finally allow less in leakage into the site, and you could finally clean these basements out. But without removing the clean water, you're never going to solve the problem of in leakage into the basement. The second thing is I would remove the fuel from Unit 4 and Unit 3. Unit 3 is, in my opinion, as scary as Unit 4 because seismically they're both at risk. You know, Tokyo Electric built a wall along the ocean to keep the contamination from entering the ocean. But what that did is it made the site wet. It increased the water table on the site so that in the event of a seismic accident, the buildings won't respond the way they were designed to respond. So they're seismically at risk now. So Unit 3 has a little less fuel in it, but it's a mess because of the explosion. So that the net effect is that I don't know which presents the bigger risk, Unit 4 or Unit 3. They both have to have the fuel removed, and they're both going to be extraordinarily difficult to do that in their fuel pool. The last piece of the puzzle is, what do you do with these carcasses, three nuclear reactors? No one knows where the nuclear fuel is. I'm sure most of it is not in the nuclear reactor, and most of that has wound up on the floor of the containment and, of course, is now spread out in numerous buildings. The radiation levels are extraordinary, and frankly, if I were a Japanese, I wouldn't want to expose a large number of Japanese men to the radiation levels they're seeing there. So my position has been for the last 2 years that the carcasses of these three nuclear units that had the explosions should be put in a sarcophagus like Chernobyl and should be let to decay for at least 100 years. 100 years will knock the radiation level down by 10. So whatever the levels are, they'll be 10 times lower 100 years from now. Now, a Japanese finance minister said this week they can't do that because if they don't knock the buildings down, the public won't let them run their nuclear power plants. In other words, they need to show that there's some finality to Fukushima so that the public feels secure in running the other 50 nuclear plants in Japan. But the problem there is that they are willing to expose an extraordinarily large number of men, and maybe women, but men in that culture, to an extraordinarily high amount of radiation in order to meet a political goal. And the political goal is to get the 50 units that they have shut down right now back running. And I don't think human beings should be political radiation fodder for the Abe regime and their attempts at getting the reactor started again.
According to Bloomberg News today, they had a headline, Japan forms team to oversee Fukushima decommission toxic water. But in reading this brief article, the team is headed by Japan's trade minister, and members of the team include the chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Authority and vice ministers of related ministries. So it sounds to me like an Olympics-related PR ploy to assure people that everything's going to be under control. How effective do you think a team made up of people like this is going to be in moving the cleanup forward?
I think involving Japanese government officials will be useless to move the cleanup forward. What really needs to happen is an international group of experts has to come forward and come up with a risk-based plan. Where's the best and most important place to spend money right now? I think right now the Japanese have a Tokyo Olympics-based plan. Where's the best place to spend the money to keep the public's eye off of Fukushima so we can move forward on other counts? The other piece of that puzzle, though, is so you've got throw out Tokyo Electric, put somebody in charge who knows what they're doing, and then have a group of experts from around the world, independent experts, consult with that engineering company and come up with a strategic plan. Okay, it's really important to lower the water table. It's really important to do this, that, and the other thing. But the last piece is that I think we need a public oversight of that process. We need independent people, not nuclear experts, independent people from inside Japan and perhaps outside Japan to oversee the company that's tearing the plant apart. And if they are getting inadequate funds from the Japanese government, these independent people should stand up and speak out that the funds are not being made available. And I don't think that will happen without some real independence assured by the Japanese. We're dealing with a culture that's very top-down. You know, everybody's trying to cover for the more important boss above them. And the net effect is that we're 2.5 years into the Fukushima cleanup, and it's worse, not better. So I think the Japanese are still doing window dressing on this. Americans can do something about this, I think, especially West Coast Americans. I think if the people in California contact Senators Feinstein and Boxer, and the people in Oregon contact Senator Wyden and others, I think the congressional pressure from America can get the Japanese to change their approach. But until that happens, I don't think the Japanese government has a clear handle on the risk that their population is facing. We're getting calls from medical doctors in Japan who are saying that they're being told by their bosses to tell their patients that none of the injuries they're experiencing are radiation related. There's an enormous pressure on the medical establishment to downplay the effects of this accident on the people that have been exposed. And I think that's awful. A physician's responsibility shouldn't be to the people in authority. The physician's responsibility should be to the public that they're serving. And that's been distorted in Japan. We're also seeing scientists in Japan who are refusing to work with other scientists in assessing these radiation damage effects because they're afraid of their careers in this very bureaucratic top-down structure. So we're not getting any good science out of Japan, and we're not getting any good medical data out of Japan. And until those problems are cleared up, the IAEA's position will be substantiated. Everyone's saying, well, nobody died. Of course they're going to say that when the data records are distorted. So my other concern is in the broad cultural sense, the Japanese are under extraordinary pressure from high political pressure to minimize the effects of this accident so that the people of Japan are essentially a scientific experiment, but nobody's reporting the results.
Have you tried to contact Japanese authorities to offer your assistance, or have you been asked by them for any input on how to proceed?
The last two times I traveled over, I was concerned I wouldn't be let in the country. I did, when the accident occurred, talk about zeolite trenches to people in authority in Japan, but I was told that they couldn't afford to do it the right way. You know, when I went over for the book tour, which was in February of 2012, the publisher was very concerned that it wouldn't be allowed in the country. So this is a situation where I don't think the government wants to hear what real independent experts are saying. And that's really the travesty of Fukushima.
Arnie, this is a thorough and, of course, a devastating picture of what is going on in Japan. If you had a message to give to the Japanese government or to the governments of the world, the citizens of the world, about the need for focusing on this problem before it's too late, what would you say?
Well, there's two things. I don't care what God you pray to, but it's important that we all pray that there not be another large earthquake. That entire tank farm is held together with plastic pipe and could easily fail and run directly into the Pacific. That's the first piece of it. And the second piece of it is that if people in authority think they can cover that up, this entire situation up, I believe they're wrong. The difference now between now and Three Mile Island and between now and Chernobyl is that we have the internet. So sooner or later, this information is going to get out. So I would hope that people in authority in Japan would recognize that and not try to impede the flow of information, because the credibility of the Japanese government is on the line here. As I said, you know, Fairwinds continually gets information which we make public whenever we can. Of course, the fear is that if someone's going to lose their job, we try to sanitize the information to prevent that. But we are getting this information. It's coming out in drips and drabs, but it will continue to flow because of the internet. And the Japanese government can't stop that. So I hope they will work with it instead of against it.
And finally, with the Olympics being planned for Tokyo in 2020, how good an idea do you think that is?
I think it was designed to take the public mind off of a bigger problem. You know, the Japanese are going to spend a couple $1 billion on the Olympics, and I think that money would be better spent cleaning up the site and cleaning up Fukushima Prefecture. I think the future of their kids is a lot more important than being on ABC News for 8 days.
Arnie, thank you so much always for all the work that you do, for your expertise, and the generosity and clarity with which you share it. Thanks for being on Nuclear Hot Seat.
Thanks for having me again.
That was Arnie Gunderson, our Mr. Wizard, for those of you who are old enough to understand the reference. More on Arnie's work can be found at fairwinds.com. That's F as in Frank, AIREWINDS.com, or .org. It's the same site. They've got videos, audios, cutting-edge information, all of it presented with clarity. Make sure you sign up to automatically get the Fairwinds podcasts, which are, again, clear, calm, and informative, as Arnie talks with some of the top experts in the world about Fukushima and other nuclear issues. Fairwinds.com. I want to remind you that Nuclear Hot Seat needs your support. Yes, you, sitting right there and listening. We need your support to keep bringing you the nuclear news you won't get anywhere else. Radiation protection tips, activist opportunities, numbnuts of the week, the NRC doc report, and so much more. So if you feel compelled to help, if you wish to be codependent, if you just wish to be a really nice person and help us out, go to our website, nuclearhotseat.com. Scroll down on the homepage and click on the big red donate button and then follow the prompts. Whatever you can do to help, know that it's appreciated. And hey, while you're on the site, I have a free report that I created for the Excellence in Journalism Conference for all those mainstream media people about the 5 blind spots that mainstream media faces in covering the nuclear issue and how to avoid them. If you're interested in the information, if you are an activist, if you'd like to become an activist, go there, put in your name and email address, and you will get by return email in your inbox your very own PDF of this report, which will explain a whole lot to you.